you have your Bibles with you? I hope you do. If you do, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading, for your information, out of the ESV, the English Standard Version. And I'm reading from Ephesians 2, verses 11, down to the end of the chapter. And by the way, forgive me this morning. I am just getting over a chest cold, so if I cough all over the place this morning, I apologize. I'll do my best not to. But here we go, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and following. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ Jesus. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. It is a light unto our path. I don't know about you, but for me, for many years as a young person, I went to church. And in that church, I really didn't have an understanding of why I was there. I knew that I had to sit a certain time, kneel at a certain time, stand at a certain time, and it felt like I did that all the time. You know, you may have felt that at one time in your church experience. And I just didn't grasp the value or the significance of what the church is and was and is to be. And so this morning, as we think about going our separate ways in ministry and in facilities usage, I just thought it would be so important for us and so helpful for us just to take a quick moment to remember the value of the Church of Christ, the body. And you know, if we leave today, the question I'm really answering for myself and hopefully asking and getting an answer for you is, what should we as BPC and as TCC be in this year ahead and in these years ahead until Jesus comes again? What should we be? Because the church is the critical plan that God has put in place. Now, the challenge is to define what the church is. Because to many people, the definitions are many. Some would say the church is a denomination. So the Tamil Christian Church of Canada, a part of a new denomination, BPC, a part of the Associated Gospel Churches of Canada. But is the denomination the church? I would believe the scriptures say no, the denomination is not. The church is also used to mean the whole body of professing Christians over all the ages is the church, and we would know that as the universal church. And that is the church, but is that really what the New Testament really focuses on when it calls this group the church? I know for certain that we don't believe what many have over the years, that the church is a building. People talk about going to the church, and what they're meaning is they're going to go to that place at 2300 Bridletown Circle. And we know that that's not the church. It's just bricks and mortar. However, when we look at the scriptures, and particularly in the New Testament, of course, where the church has been born and has grown out of Christ leaving the Holy Spirit to develop the church, we come to a place where we understand that the church is a local, called out body of believers that have united together as the family of God to worship and to obey God's commandments. That's the church. The local church. And the question that we're asking and hopefully answering a little bit today is, what should we be as that local church? It's an important question, don't you think? You come together every week as the church, and I know that your pastor and your leadership team, such as ours, is constantly evaluating, are we being the church as God has set it forth, as the Holy Spirit is leading us? And so this morning, I read that passage from Ephesians, which talks about the church that is built on, is a household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And I want to take us through a variety of scriptures. We won't settle in any one place today, but as a reminder, I want to take us to several various scriptures as to the purpose of the church. What are we to be? The first thing I want us to remember as we continue on from this day forward is the church is to be a holy body. The church is to be a holy, H-O-L-Y, body. Ephesians 5, a little later in that chapter, in that book, it says that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might, listen up, that she might be holy and without blemish. Now, unfortunately, in our day and age, that has not been the case around this globe. There have been too many cases where we have heard that the church was not a holy body, that they were filled with blemishes. That does not mean, this passage does not mean that the church is to be perfect, but it is to seek out to be that place where Christ is honored through holy living, through lives that are in line with God's work. I know for certain that there is no perfect church. TCC is not a perfect church, is it, Pastor? Oh, that's good to hear. Because I was worried if you said yes, then BPC was in a real bad spot this morning. We're not a perfect church either. But by the power of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are holy in God's sight, but we're working out that holiness in a practical way every single day. The church has been called a pillar of truth, 1 Timothy 3. You may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. It's a pillar of the truth. It's that place where Jesus is our rock. We are the pillar that holds up the truth of the Word of God. I like how Charles Spurgeon said, our Lord never taught us to hide the gospel in little rooms down back alleys. He would have us come to the front as much as we can. The church is not a cellar to conceal the truth of God, but a pillar to display it. We're a pillar of the truth. We're here as the holy body to display the reality of the truth of God's word. We're to be a pure beam of light, lending credibility to the truth we hold and preach. Of course, 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A holy people. To be God's holy people, there is no greater privilege. Would you agree, church? No greater privilege to be that holy people, a priesthood, his own special people. D.L. Moody, great evangelist, said, a holy life will make the deepest impression. A holy life will make the deepest impression. And listen to this. He always had a way of twisting things. Lighthouses blow no horns, they just shine. We're to be the lighthouse in the community. We're not here to puff ourselves up to say, look at us and how good we are. We're God's people. That would be the blowing of the horn. We're not to be that. We're just to shine. And as people see God working in us, they say, we want to know that God. And so 1 Peter 1:15-16 reminds us so clearly, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So the church, first and foremost, is to be holy. That is our daily goal. As individual members of the local body, our number one goal every day as we wake is, God, help me, strengthen me, empower me to be a holy vessel that I might shine and be that pillar of the truth in this community that in which I live. The second truth I was reminded of this week is the church should be a loving body. Isn't it true? The church should be a loving body. It says in 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Hebrews tells us, let brotherly love continue. Someone said, and it's been so clearly reminded to me this week, that our churches are filled with those who outwardly look contented and at peace, but inwardly are crying out for someone to love them. If you look around you in this room today, believe it or not, there are people in this room that are hurting deeply, that are struggling and are being challenged by many aspects of life. And they come and even I've at times come and we put on a good face and we just wish that someone would love me, would love us, might put their arm around me and say, you know what, I've been thinking about you and praying for you this week. Or maybe at that moment has a sense that they come to you and say, I want to just pray for you. Do you know that we love you as a church family? People are just so deeply in need of being loved. But too often we look around, if we're those people who are looking to be loved, are hurting and are going through challenges, and look around and see all these what look like to be perfect people. We look at the pastors and say, oh, they're just so perfect. We are not, folks. But they look and they see this and they think this is the truth. But the reality is, there is none here who is not or has not gone through challenging times in their life. And we want those people who are hurting to feel they can approach any one of us anytime and they can receive love. If they need it, just ask, I'm going through a challenge. Would you pray for me? I just need to be loved. And they know that Jesus loves them, but there is something so very special about the church loving each other. I know that the world around us, when they see that we love each other so deeply, they want to know why, and they want a piece of that. So, folks, the church should be a holy body, and the church should be a loving body. Church should be, as someone has said, a loving family, a circle of friends, a company of equals. Isn't that true? Thirdly, the church should be a serving body. As you continue in your new location, as we continue, I am reminded and encouraged and encourage you to keep on serving. God has been so good to each one of us that he has given us wonderful gifts. Galatians 5 says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Serve one another. The church is crippled if people do not serve. But even worse, we become ineffective if our service is done without love. See how these things go hand in hand? A holy body, a loving body, and a serving body. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace, 1 Peter 4 tells us. Serving one another. I don't know if you have ever heard or read or listened to any of Pastor Rick Warren's sermons. Great man of God, serving in the States. God has used him mightily. He has some great sayings, and one is, when talking about the mark of spiritual maturity, when it occurs in a believer, this is what he says. Spiritual maturity occurs in a believer when that individual takes off the bib, and puts on an apron. You get it? Takes off the bib, that childish thing that keeps all the little stuff that falls and doesn't go on your body, and then puts on the apron. What does the symbol of an apron mean? The symbol of an apron is a serving symbol. Those who wear aprons have learned the joy of serving others. I know in BPC some awesome servants of God. They're always wearing that apron. And God has blessed us with some wonderful servants. I know in TCC of some of your wonderful servants. They have been working diligently, hard. They have been working faithfully, serving you as a church family. And we are blessed by their service. But let us not just let them serve us. Let us serve as well. The last reminder that I want to give each of our churches as we move into a new phase of our lives as church bodies is that the church should be a growing church. Like newborn infants, 1 Peter says, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. We want to grow, don't we, people? We don't want to be the same people that we are today, next year at this time. We don't want that. We want to be transformed by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, growing us into maturity, helping us to love each other, to serve each other, and be a holy church way beyond where we were today. And that takes work. That takes effort. God doesn't say, I'll just do it, I'll snap my fingers, and you will grow this year. It's going to take effort. It's going to take time in His Word. Are you in His Word every day? Reading it devotionally, reading it to learn something fresh and new for that day. Are you reading books that good men and women have written about God's Word, about the life of the body of Christ, the church, that encourage us to be all that we can, all that God has designed us to be in the church? We cannot grow if we're not doing those things, reading His Word, reading about His Word, serving and loving and being holy. Many of you have little children. Some of you might even have that little rocking horse for children. The kids love rocking horses. They get on and they rock forever. It's great. It's wonderful. As a matter of fact, now I have grandchildren, and I was over at my daughter's house with their new baby. I couldn't believe the device that I saw. Maybe you have one. Maybe what it is, it's a stationary device. It's on a little bit of a pillar, and the baby rocks in this little cradle. It goes back and forth, so smooth. Back and forth, so smooth. I looked at that and I was amazed, because I've seen different types of these, but this one was like high-tech, modern. And it had a little thing coming down so the baby could focus. And I thought, wow, the baby calmed right down when it was in that. It was so smooth. And had a little music playing. I said, I want one of those for myself. Every once in a while, put it right in my office. I'd share it. I'd let everybody come in and use it. And you know, when you just need to relax and just focus, just get in that thing and just rock. Well, that's the new rocking horse. The problem with rocking horses is they don't go anywhere. The problem with rocking horses is they remind me too much of many Christians. There's plenty of motion, but no progress. You got to get off the rocking horse and start serving, loving, and being that holy individual. And then we're going to see some progress. It's God's plan that every one of us should grow. every one of us should develop into spiritually mature individuals using the very special gifts that God has given each one of us. We're all given gifts at the moment of salvation that are very unique for each one of us, and God is fully expecting that we would use them for His glory. When you plant a tree, you'll see that if you work with it, it'll grow. If you plant a post, nothing happens. A post is a dead tree that's been squared up and put in the ground, and guess what? It just decays eventually. We want to be living trees. As a matter of fact, our new logo as BPC is this green tree, a growing tree. It's beautiful, it's full, and on it we have this artistic rendering of the Word of God. We are the tree planted firmly in the Word of God, growing for His glory by His grace. We want to be growing spiritually, but we also want to be growing in numbers. We want to see people come to Christ. That first chapter of Acts where it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's our task, to be those witnesses. And we will see. I believe the promises of the Word of God. As we serve Him faithfully, sharing the truth, being the light, others will come to know the truth and become part of the family of God. Part of a growing church is that we take the Great Commission seriously. To go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the commission that we have. To be holy, loving, serving, and growing. So TCC, we love you. As a church family over the years, we've had wonderful times together. And as families come, we've had some tough times too. But God's grace is greater than any of those times. And here we are back together again in a loving moment to say, we will be praying for you. We will be excited to see how God is going to continue to lift you up, continue to grow you. I pray, and I know our leadership team pray, that this new facility will be too small very soon. And you'll have to do something else again to find more space. We pray that with the greatest joy. But while you're there, we're praying that God will use you to reach the community around and to see many come to know Christ, because they see you as a holy, loving, and serving community. And I don't think I'm being presumptuous. I kind of believe that you'll be praying for us in the same way. And so, as we close this time worshiping in the Word, I leave those thoughts with you. I pray that God would bless our churches as we continue to be the church, properly defined and properly serving Him. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for this time together. So thankful that we've had opportunity and will close with this continuing opportunity to worship together. We know now that as we move to the next stage, we're going to be doing that which you commanded. Christ commanded us to remember Him by taking up the elements of bread and juice, remind us of His broken body and shed blood. And there is a great joy to do this as two fellowships together as one church. So Lord, thank you for your word. We worship you for it and we worship in it. And thank you now for this time of communion. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.